Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I have been covering this team now for 15 years for various outlets, including Sports 56, WHBQ, and 87.7 FM, the Commercial Appeal, you name it, we've done it. And in all those years, I've seen a lot of things, but I don't know that I've seen a more inept and just bad basketball game than the one last night at FedEx Forum, where the Grizzlies managed to lose at home to the horrendous Suns, 110-102. Now, I want you to think of it like this, because we've talked, God knows we've talked about this on the podcast, and those of you that are listening, and those of you that are sticking with us through this season here on Locked On Grizzlies, you know you're the diehards. I've told you that. I appreciate that. So you're in it. You're in it for the long haul, and I love you. You got to think of it like surgery. That's why I've titled the pod that. This is a procedure that has been coming for a while. It's like you've got a little, I don't know, you had like a little growth on your leg, or you've had a little pain in your side, or you've whatever, something that you know you need to have fixed. Your knee's hurting you, whatever. Something that's been on the horizon for a while. This Grizzlies team, we've known that they've needed a talent infusion. They need help. This is something that's been not a one-year thing, though this has been a pretty, really bad year. But the need for top-shelf talent has been there for a long time. So think of this season, if it helps you at all, like surgery, the procedure. Nobody likes the actual procedure. Nobody looks forward to it. Nobody is pumped up about going to the hospital. Nobody's pumped up about all the paperwork. Nobody's pumped up about, getting put under, the anesthesia. No one's pumped up about having to recover afterwards. Nobody's pumped up about that at all. But let's say you've had knee trouble for a while, and after that procedure is done, you notice 6 months later, a year later, your knee is suddenly feeling better, and you can do things you couldn't do before. You had back issues. Now you don't have those back issues. And now you're much more mobile and you can run around with your kids or whatever. That's the goal. The hope is that you look back on this time 2 or 3 years down the line and say, well, that sucked. Let's be honest. That was horrible. What a pile of dog crap so many of those games were. But at the end of the rainbow was Jaren Jackson or Luka Doncic or whoever, DeAndre Ayton. Whoever you like. And I have my picks, and we'll get to those over the next few months. Lord knows we've got time. But you look back and you say, okay, well, you got that guy. So all of the nonsense, like last night, all of the stupid stuff, all of watching Ben McLemore play basketball, all of that will have been worth it. And maybe as a side benefit, you develop a couple players, maybe Ivan Rabb turns out to be a little bit better because he played a little bit more. Maybe Dylan Brooks goes through the crucible of this season and turns into a better player. I don't know. Those are possible outcomes that would help to mitigate what you saw, because what you saw was horrible. And again, there's no sugarcoating it. When you lose to the Suns, you come out of the gate, Ben McLemore starts and is a minus six in the first 2:45, and he's benched for the rest of the half. I mean, that is a strong tanking start right there. And realistically, the Grizzlies didn't have too many other options to start at the two guard, given the injuries to Wayne Selden and Tyreke Evans and, whatever. So it made some sense. I got a text from a NBA official that will remain unnamed, but this particular individual said, will Adam Silver fine the Grizzlies for starting Ben McLemore? It's a good question. That may qualify as a too much of a tank for the NBA standards. And, you saw really the tone was set right out of the gate. And the Grizzlies with 9 turnovers in the first quarter, which ties a record for this season in terms of turnovers in a quarter. No one really dialed in defensively, all over the place, struggling to defend a team in the Suns that's just, you know, you've got Devin Booker, certainly, but a lot of young guys out there and a lot of guys that, like, Josh Jackson has been playing better of late, but he's not that great. And the Grizzlies just struggled to deal with it. Couldn't take advantage on the other side of the defensive matchup. Oftentimes, he would end up with Marc Gasol, and Mark didn't want to or couldn't take advantage of that matchup. And you didn't get the benefit of that end of the court. Ultimately, it's good to have lost that game, but I recognize that was a horrible, horrible experience to go through. And I don't know that anyone played well. Marc Gasol finishes with a stat line that is better sounding than it was in actuality. 22 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. But he shot 7 of 21. He has shot the Grizzlies in this losing streak as a team have shot under 40% in those games, which is hard for an NBA team to do. 39.8, I think it is, percent in all of those games. In the half court, they have really, really struggled. Pick and rolls. I looked at all their pick and rolls and all the shots that came off the pick and rolls and during this losing streak. They're shooting 35.6% in those. 35.6%. And the pick and roll is a pretty big part of their offense and most everyone else's offense, too. So as bad as everybody, you know, so as bad as things have been, it's not just one guy. Ben McLemore is really, really bad. And I'll get to him in a second. But it's not just one guy. Everyone is struggling. Everyone, when you lose every single game in the month of February, first time the Grizzlies have gone winless in a month since, well, it's never happened in Memphis. It happened in Vancouver the very first year that the Grizzlies were in action, March, I believe it was, of 1996, the last time that happened. This was the last time that two teams with double-digit losing streaks have played since 1998. The Grizzlies were also involved in that one against the Nuggets at that point in time. I mean, these are historic futility markers that are very strong, and they don't just happen out of the blue. You've had to work to get there. Half of this roster would probably be playing in South Haven if everybody was healthy and everything worked out the way that it was supposed to work out. But that's the way it is, and the Grizzlies have themselves an opportunity that they are really grabbing, to their credit. They are grabbing it. You know, Tyreke Evans being hurt, that is a great opportunity for them to lose some games that they probably would have won. No question, if Tyreke plays last night, the Grizzlies win that game. He didn't, and they didn't. They are grabbing this opportunity with both hands, and I know it is painful now. And it is painful now, but they will be better off for having lost that game. Doesn't feel that way, but they will. And I told you I was going to get to Ben McLemore, and I want to get to Marc Gasol, too, coming up in just a moment in his comments that he's made. But to put a kind of a bow on Ben McLemore and where he's at, I'm going to give you some numbers for you guys. In the month of February, Ben McLemore had at least the Grizzlies had a net rating with Ben McLemore on court of -31.8. That means that the Grizzlies were 31.8 points worse than their opponents per 100 possessions when Ben McLemore was on the court. That is a pretty astonishing number, even for a team that's really bad. And the Grizzlies as a team, just overall, their net rating as a team was -16. They fell completely off the rails in the month of February. But he doubled that up when he was on court. And the Grizzlies, when Ben McLemore was off the court, actually had a net rating of -9.3, which means they were merely just really bad as opposed to horrendously awful. That's amazing to think about. The difference for the Grizzlies in the month of February between going a -9 or so in net rating and a -16 as a team now is Ben McLemore. Wow. That tells you where he's at. Now, get this. The Grizzlies this year, when Ben McLemore plays, they are 5-33. 5-33 when he plays even a minute. When he does not play at all, they are 13-9. I remind you, this is an 18-42 team. They're 13-9. Now, you would say, and our buddy Chris Harrington pointed out, Chris is a listener to the pod, and I appreciate that. Chris pointed out and said, oh, you know, there might be some more information there, something else that correlates. And he's right. You have to point out that Mike Conley, his injury obviously has factored into everything that's gone on this season for the Grizzlies. So let's just take those games out. Ben McLemore played in two games that Mike Conley also played in. Otherwise, McLemore missed the rest of Conley's games. So let's take those two games out and just go with and take all the Conley games out as well. Those are two losses, by the way. Take those games out. Even without Mike Conley factored in, take those first 12 or so games out. The Grizzlies are 5-31 when McLemore plays and 6-5 when he doesn't. So they still have an over 500 record when McLemore doesn't play and a miles under 500 record when he does. It's never as simple as all that, but it's a good little back of the envelope note as to his impact negatively for the team. But they've signed him. He's signed up for another year. At this stage, I will tell you, you know, if he were to be a free agent this offseason, he would not probably get another contract anywhere. He would probably not have an NBA contract. He'd probably have to go play somewhere overseas because I don't think he would stick in the league. Grizzlies probably would have to be tempted. I mean, not that it would do them much good, but I mean, just maybe out of frustration as much as anything else would be tempted to just waive him or to stretch him. They're not going to do that, but it has been a disastrous signing to say the least. The rest of the month of February, if you're trying to find the positive players, the guys that were merely bad and not awful, it's very hard to find them. Dylan Brooks was the best of the bunch, and Jermichael Green as well. Both those guys played reasonably well. Andrew Harrison played reasonably well. And again, last night he didn't play well defensively, but still put up good numbers and has certainly improved his shot. That's one of the bright spots of this tank situation, is I think Harrison has evolved into a very serviceable third guard type guy on your roster who you feel pretty comfortable putting in there for, in an ideal world, 10, 15 minutes a game, maybe 20. I think he's certainly evolved into that, and he can play that role in a good team, which is good news for the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks as well is getting a lot of work here and a lot of experiences that I think will serve him well eventually, even if they're a little bit problematic right now. I think eventually that those will serve him well. And he, as I tweeted last night, to me, he's a player. I get a lot of his numbers are not great. You know, his PER is really low for rookies. You know, some of the advanced stats, depending on what you look at, don't love him. But I think it all depends on the situation. The guy is not super athletic, so he's going to struggle to defend really quick players. He's not a two, but as a three, and a guy that can switch as needed, dogged defender, has taken on really tough matchups basically from the very beginning of his career. He's a guy that I think you can feel pretty comfortable having in your foxhole, metaphorically speaking. I don't know, you know, long term what the role is going to be, how much he can play, but I think he's a player. The rest of the guys, it's a shame that you couldn't see Deontay Davis, because he'd started to make some progress, move in the right direction, but that injury has held him back a little bit. Wayne Selden is a mystery at this stage. Just do not know what he's going to be able to give you, how healthy he's going to be. Has struggled offensively and defensively. You know, he's got some chops. Again, just don't know. And haven't really had the opportunity, unfortunately, because of his injury-plagued season. That's where development comes in. And obviously, Marc Gasol disagrees with that. You heard Marc Gasol talking about that on Tuesday, and he addressed it a little bit after the game yesterday. But Mark, growing increasingly frustrated with the season, increasingly frustrated with the player development aspect of this tanking season, about how things are going. And, you know, we could all pretty well see this coming, even if Mark was trying to deny that it was going to happen. We talked about it with Mark at that summit Mark thing that he did at FedEx Forum in the wake of David Fizdale being fired. And, you know, Chris Harrington talked to him about that. I talked to him about that over the course of the season. He's fully aware that this is a possibility. But now that it's actually happening, he's not thrilled with the way that it's going. But I don't know what Mark would have expected otherwise. He's going to be frustrated. He doesn't like to lose. Nobody likes to lose. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Some of these performances have been embarrassing. Losing to the Suns at home is borderline embarrassing. And while we've seen a lot of positivity from Mark in a lot of situations, that is starting to erode as a very tiring and very frustrating season is coming to an end. But I told you guys this. If you listen to this pod, you know that this has been on the cards for a long time, that Mark is not, he doesn't handle the situation very well. He's not going to be thrilled with it. He's not going to just sit, just to sit. He wants to play no matter what. That's what he does. That's his job. And he's not going to take poor play in his mind lightly. I don't think Mark has played especially well this year. I think Mark could share some of the blame, a lot of the blame, for a lot of these situations, but that's what Mark's going to do. He's going to dive on the floor when he doesn't necessarily need to. He's going to do a lot of things that aren't probably to his long-term benefit because he's a competitor. And he's, I think, got a lot of questions about how this season unfolded, why it unfolded the way that it did, why he had to absorb so much of the criticism publicly for that when he still contends that he did not make the call, so to speak, to fire David Fizdale. That's what he says. The organization really put him out there on Front Street on that one and kind of painted him as the scapegoat with the timing of what they did. So, you know, he's going to have a lot of questions about the development, about where things are going to go. And a great pick is not going to paper over the short-term situation, which is still going to be problematic for Mark even next year. Mike Conley comes back healthy. Mark's healthy. Chandler Parsons, you know, we'll see what happens with Tyreke Evans. I still don't know if that's a team that's not a team that's going to compete in the upper echelons of the West. And Mark's career is starting to dwindle down. And I think he's tried very hard with he's very loyal, and he's loyal to Robert Pera, and he's loyal to the city. But I think he sees now, you know, the end is coming. His career is not infinite. He doesn't have all these seasons to waste and to go through, and this is a wasted year for him. He doesn't have very many of those that he can just waste. If there's no long-term vision, if there's no long-term plan, he will probably agitate to either go somewhere else or to have some significant changes within the organization. I don't think he's just going to accept the status quo after this year. I don't think any of this stuff's going to happen now. But don't be surprised if after the year is over, Mark starts to have some discussions and starts to potentially rock the boat, I guess is the right way to put it. We'll see. But I'm not surprised by any of this. I think he'll get more and more frustrated verbally as the season goes on. And he'll try to hold it back as best he can. But, I mean, come on, man. For a guy that loves playing high IQ basketball to watch what's going on around him right now, come on. Come on. It's rough. And he's thrown some of the teammates under the bus a time or two verbally. I think he's also been supportive verbally. It's just guys having a tough time of it. It's not any fun. These guys are all professionals. This is one of the distinctions of tanking that we I think it's a it might seem like a fine point or a subtle point, but it's an important point. The players out there want to win. I promise you. I know that seems somebody we all joke about it and whatever, but the players out there are all trying to play their best, generally speaking. Nobody wants to be Wesley Johnson, where you get completely humiliated. Rest in peace, Wesley. You had a good run. No one wants to be that guy. And every time you go out there and play basketball, you have the potential to end up on the internet as a meme. You don't want that. You don't want to be on the back end of that. Nobody wants to lose these games as a player. Organizationally, sure. But that's different. Putting rosters out there and lineups out there that can't win, that's the front office's job. But those guys that are playing hard. And I think from the Grizzlies, you saw it wasn't, I don't think it was a lack of hard play. I think it was a lack of smart play, but not so much a lack of hard play. Certainly a lack of good play. There's no question about that. And you're going to see a lot of that over the course of the season. Tomorrow night, the Nuggets, very bunched up, incredible race. Outside of the top two in the West, it's just wild. 3 through 9 or 10 is just, there's not much separating any of them. Spurs are 2.5 games out of missing the playoffs altogether. Pelicans are a game or so away from jumping into a home court advantage in a big time way. All these teams are extremely tight, and the Nuggets are right there in the mix. So plenty for them to play for, though they have not necessarily been playing all that well. We'll see what the Grizzlies can do and what they should do and what they will do, I suspect, is lose. But how will that manifest itself? It is video game night, for those of you that like video games. It's video game night at FedEx Forum, and there will be an 8-bit Mike Conley there, if that interests you. You get that as like a little Lego or a little block set that you can put together, so that's pretty cool. As far as the game goes, probably going to be significantly less cool. We'll see. Got some questions that we'll get to next week. Keep those coming. I am at Peter Edmiston on Twitter, at Peter Edmiston on Twitter, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Big, big tank night. Congratulations to the Grizzlies for the biggest loss of the year. Now sitting very much in the catbird seat at this stage to get a top 3 pick in the draft. They're getting closer. They're getting closer. You want to go through that surgery. Believe me, you'll feel better in about a year or two.